Albert Johnson, born in Martin's Isaac
Jackson. The Underground Railroad was an American phenomenon. From the late 1700s through the mid-1800s, a network evolved. This network helped African Americans escape slavery. It was known as the Underground Railroad, and its organizers used railroad terminology to both communicate and disguise their activities. Over its years of operation, the network led as many as 100,000 slaves to freedom. And one of the great figures of the Underground Railroad was William Still. Now, he personally helped hundreds of men, women, and children find freedom, and was also one of the most important chroniclers of these events. He meticulously interviewed the freedom seekers, chronicled the events, and published the writings in his 1872 book, The Underground Railroad Records. This was the book that was the main source for composer Paul Morvick and librettist Mark Campbell when they created the oratorio Sanctuary Road. Over the next 15 minutes, we'll hear about some of these people found in William Still's book and hear the performers who portrayed them when Sanctuary Road, the oratorio, was first performed in 2018 at Carnegie Hall.
The Underground Railroad. A record of facts. Authentic narrative. Letters, etc. Narrating the hardships, hairbreadth escapes, and death struggles of the slaves in their efforts of freedom.
So let's talk about this role, William Still, and how you approached taking on his portrayal.
The way that I try to approach, you know, any music in which you're playing someone real, you know, like William Still or you know, any of the other characters, the Box Brown character, or any of these characters, it's one of great dignity, and it's one of intense responsibility. You have a responsibility to educate the audience about what you're doing and about what, you know, these men and women did to advance humanity.
Write it down. Write it.
In your Texas history books or any other history books, did you come across the name Ellen Craft?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. We hear a lot about Harriet Tubman, but I'd never heard of this amazing figure. Mm-hmm. She was very light-skinned slave in Georgia, Macon, Georgia. She was a woman in love. She fell in love with William, who was to become her husband. And they were a couple in love, and they were a couple who wanted to fight for their dignity and their right to be humans and to be free. And they undertook an insanely arduous journey out of sheer ingenuity and brilliance and courage. Ellen Craft disguised herself as an elderly, ailing white man, a plantation owner. And William disguised himself as her slave. And so together they went through the Deep South, through insane situations. She knew that she couldn't read and write, and her speech would give her away as a woman. So she didn't speak. He spoke for her. She had her arm bandaged so she wouldn't have to fill out documents. And this piece was amazing because the aria puts me as a singer in the first-hand experience as being Ellen Craft, of being a woman, a black woman, who has to pretend to be a white man, who the experiences couldn't be more antagonistic. And she had to, as an actress, it's not even an actress, because as an actress, the worst thing that can happen to you is, you know, you get a bad review or people boo you. But her role, this role of a lifetime, the consequences for a bad performance would be death, would be torture, could be rape, could be anything, could be her love being murdered in front of her eyes, could be all of those things. And so to imagine the sheer terror of encountering that is just insane. So this couple went through all of these things on steamboats, on trains. They kept up this charade until they reached Philadelphia and were able to meet people like William Still, who wrote down their incredible story. In my head, I just keep hearing the last words, which are the words of hope, with "to Philadelphia." And that was the hope, and that was the dream, and that was the knowing what was ahead if they were able to make it.
Now, Joshua Blues, that's your given name, because I don't really know too many blues.
Yeah, it is my given name.
It's no alias.
No.
How'd your family get to Chicago? Where'd they come from with a name like that?
My mom's from the north of England, and I was actually born just south of London, and we immigrated here in 95. And my dad is from British Guyana in South America by way of, you know, the Bahamas and West Indies and Western Africa originally. But he ended up in England, and that's where my folks met, and that's where I was born, and then we came to Chicago. The reason that my name is Blue is likely because my family name was changed when my father's family were slaves. You know, we might not have been American slaves or North American slaves, but there's heavy evidence to suggest that our family was taken into slavery from Africa, brought through the West Indies to South America by the British as opposed to the Americans. And so while it might not be North American slavery in my blood, it's still that of people that were oppressed and, you know, completely stripped of their freedoms.
So that's Joshua Blue. Tell us about Wesley Harris.
So Wesley Harris, really just an incredible character. Such an ordeal of his life trying to escape from slavery, and getting to kind of learn his story was really incredible for me. You know, he escaped the confines of slavery with two friends or two acquaintances, and through so many ordeals, being chased down by slave catchers and you know, being hunted by anyone that, you know, his name was plastered all over towns. He ended up getting found out, caught and cornered in a barn where his friend was shot. You know, he had to escape over and over again until he finally, you know, made his way up north through to Canada by way of William Still. I mean, it's the perfect perseverance story. He encountered struggle at absolutely every turning point, but ultimately, you know, he persevered right on through.
Just tell us the story of Henry Box Brown as you know it.
Henry reached out to several abolitionists to devise a plan to mail himself in a crate from Richmond to Philadelphia. And the journey was 27 hours, I believe. So a couple of days. And he only had a small jar of water and a couple of biscuits to sustain him through the trip. And he was able to get out of work that day by actually burning himself. So a self-inflicted wound. Apparently he burned himself to the bone to get out of work so that he could be nailed in this crate.
Henry Box Brown wasn't mailed in a coffin-sized box. He was mailed in a box that was about 3 feet long and 2 feet wide and 2 feet deep. So he really had to contort himself to get into this thing.
As I would imagine, his body was balled up and definitely contorted, and he couldn't move. I mean, I can't even imagine when the box was upside down and not in the right position, the discomfort he must have felt. And apparently there was only a small hole in the crate so that he could receive, you know, oxygen. This was an educated man who could read and write. And I think that the one aspect of this story that, you know, I definitely can relate to is the fact that my ancestors were slaves. And I can trace their lineage back to the house and the land that they worked on in Alabama.
They can't seem to read. They don't seem to know the crate I'm in. It says this side up with care. This side up with care in big, big letters. To clarify, this side up is above me, not below. Then on a cot, on a train, on a steamer.
How important do you think it is, Laquita, that this kind of piece is heard and shared across culture and across race, that, you know, that it's not only performed by Black folks telling, you know, this story to one another, but how important is it that the ensemble you sang with, and, you know, that was very mixed, and the orchestra very mixed, do you think that's an important piece of keeping this history alive?
It would be one thing if this specific blight in our history only happened and nothing like this had ever happened again. Obviously, we would, no matter what, we'd still be talking about it because it's a part of history, yeah? But now that we have this issue with the migrants who are coming into the United States, or trying to gain entry into the United States, and dying across the border, and children living in squalor, you know, parents, people being separated, kids not knowing when and where they'll ever see their kids again. I think it was still one of the people that he ended up helping was his brother, because his mother, who was a slave, had to release, you know, his brother, you know, so that she could escape or something like that. So one of the people that, you know, I just think it's shameful. We're repeating it again. Honestly, we need to understand that all people's lives matter. Yes, all people are human, and we need to honor their humanity by respecting them and respecting that, you know, any one of us, by the grace of God, it could be any one of us that this happens to. You know, when we marginalize people and put people in blocks and spaces, we run the risk of repeating history. It's happening to people who may not look like you, but they're still a part of you. We're still all a part of each other. Slavery completely impacted this, you know, the United States for the good and obviously for the worse because of what it did to a human race, what it did to humanity, and what it did to the complete understanding of people of color, like to be looked at as less than.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you say it, because when we hear you saying Rain, I think, and when I started, I asked, what did you bring to that? I just heard what you brought to it and why you sing it the way you do, and why it's such a moment in that show where time just seems to stop, and perhaps it needs to stop because we need to really soak it in. So, Paul, I mean, Underground Railroad, is this something you grew up like studying in an American history course? Is it a topic that comes up around your household? How did you just focus in on the Underground Railroad?
I focused on it partly because I didn't know much about it from my schooling. It wasn't really a part of my education. We dealt with it tangentially when we talked about the Civil War and so on. But it's a story that's not as well known as, in my view, it should be, and certainly not the story. The story of William Still, I think, is central to our history. And if nothing else, I hope that this project helps bring his story more to the attention of the American public.
Yeah, because, I mean, even growing up in Cleveland and, you know, my parents coming from Mississippi, I had never really heard of William Still. Harriet Tubman was a name that I was familiar with,
The
Underground Railroad. Yes. But these two were just born months apart.
Right.
But William Still wasn't, I don't think, is known as much. And but you chose to deal with his narratives.
I did, partially because I remember the email to Paul. I said, you realize we're both white and we're talking about the Underground Railroad. I think it's very important that we honor the people who actually wrote about it and who were there and who helped slaves escape. And that man was William Still.
Kent, so when the project came to you, to you, in what shape was it in, and what did you have to do from there?
Well, it was in pretty much final form by the time you guys had worked through it and handed it on to us. So I received this, and the next thing that was just amazing was to go to the quintet of soloists and to invite them to be a part of this piece, to experience their reaction to the piece, and then to be able to develop, you know, in coachings, their own approach to these characters that they were to portray. And it all led to just a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
To add to that, all of these singers have some personal connection to this story. I mean, Laquita talks about her people coming from Mississippi, and Meriwether talks about his people coming from Alabama, and Joshua talks about his people coming from the West Indies. So by extension, all a part of this experimentation and slavery and all of that. So it was personal for them, and talking with them, I mean, and seeing them on stage, you could see that thing that you just described.
Sanctuary Road is about a very specific period in our history, in American history, about very specific stories about African Americans. I'd like to think that this story is also timeless and universal. One of the reasons I wanted sanctuary in the title, we were trying to come up with a title, and I said, you know, I want to use the word sanctuary, and I was thinking of sanctuary cities. And I was thinking in particular also of William Still and Philadelphia. That was his sanctuary city. And Mark came up with the title Sanctuary Road, which I really like. I think it's terrific. Because the story isn't over. The story continues. And as I say, I like to think of it as a timeless and universal story.